That's GHCC this week for this week. If there's anything you need to know, check out generationalhope.org or email info@generationalhope.org.
Okay. Well, we have kids' classes today, so for ages birth through sixth grade, children, you're dismissed. Have a good time at kids' church today. Like I said earlier, Pastor Ed is out of town today, so I want to welcome a man of God, a servant, a leader in the house, and our pastor, one of our pastors, Pastor Justin Garland.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here. It's fun to be a part of a great church. And probably one of my favorite parts was this morning. I looked over to Keith this morning on sound, and I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "I have no idea." So if we have any more "I have no idea" moments, just bear with us this morning. Yeah, I do. I love Keith. Keith is an incredible man of God, and he's done a lot this summer for this church to make this tent happen. So there he is, and he's wearing black so he can't be noticed, but I just blew that, I guess. Well, it's good to see you all here this morning. We're just going to do a few things before we jump into the Word, a few family things. Is Sandy Wixon here? Many of you know Sandy Wixon. If you don't know Sandy Wixon, she's an incredible woman of God, really a mother of this house to so many, a spiritual mother, is very involved in a lot of ministry across this nation, across this state, in our church. She turned, and Sandy, I think I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag, right? 60 years old on Friday. So that's a big achievement. For you, Sandy, we've got like a card, Carrie Ann has it, that we'll give to you after the service. But we're going to attempt. Pastor always sings, and I shouldn't sing. But we're going to just sing happy birthday, because 60 is a big deal. Sandy, if it was 59, we wouldn't sing. But stand up. We're going to sing happy birthday to Sandy, an amazing mother of this house. Please help me sing. Happy birthday. Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Happy birthday, Sandy. Well, I guess before we get going, I just want to do two other things. Number one, I just talked to Pastor Tom, and I'm probably going to say it at the end of my service as well, but I just wanted to get you thinking. We are gearing up for our generational leadership. What is it? 2012-2013 year, which is exciting. I can't believe we're just on the brink of another year. That means school starting two kids. Yeah. So that's exciting as well. But I just talked to Pastor Tom, and this time of year with generational leadership, it's always crazy. And I know that we've had different pleas for house parents, and I want to thank those of you who've opened up your home in the years past, but also this year to say we'll open our life, our home to a young person so that God could do some great things in their life and they can have a year that they'll never forget. Well, this week we had two more young ladies that said, "We need this year." And God, they're expectant that God's going to do great things in them. We got one problem, two problems actually, because there's two of them. And you see where I'm going. We're going to have to say no to these two young ladies unless one of you says, "I'll open my home." So this is kind of just a little hook out there. Here's kind of the pull of the hook. We need you to pray fast. Right? Thus saith the Lord. Yes. Okay? Because we need to know. So that's why I'm telling you, while I'm preaching, that's the only thing you can be somewhat distracted with while I'm preaching, is praying about whether you're going to open up your home. But we need to know by tomorrow. So if you have any questions, I told you, if you have any questions, talk to Pastor Tom after the service. You can call them tomorrow at the GL office. And yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to twist your arms or manipulate you any more than I already have. How's that? But I know, again, the investment that this church is willing to do whatever it takes. So thank you again for that. And I just want to welcome as we get going. I think that's all the family announcements I have. Probably one more. I want to welcome some special people here this morning besides all of you. And we've got some football players from Rainier Christian here this morning. So, and I wouldn't have them stand up except for they're wearing their brand new jerseys. And I'm going to tell you before God and all these people, if you get a stain on them, do not bother showing up tomorrow to practice. Okay, just turn your gear in, and it was nice knowing you. But can we just have the, you guys stand up for a minute. We just want to welcome you. Show off your jerseys, embarrass you a little bit. Look at those. Very nice. Welcome this morning, and some of your families as well. That's exciting. Well, I'm excited to share the word with you this morning. It's been a fun summer. And you're saying, it doesn't feel like summer. I get that. And I don't know about you adults, but when you're in high school or junior high, summers are a lot of fun, aren't they? Because you sleep in. But kind of the adult world, it's kind of more difficult, isn't it? Because you know everyone else is off and you're still doing your thing. And I don't know about you, but for some reason, I'm 31 years old, but still, I kind of view summer as this big, like, warm-up to the main event, right? And I don't know if it's because I've got kids coming up now, but I kind of see it as a time to just kind of recoup and kind of re-envision, recharge the batteries a little bit. Had a great time this last few weeks with my family doing a little camping. If you've never camped with a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, 2 3-year-olds, 2 newborns, and 2 women, not just me, that sounded bad. that man, that's an experience. So we went camping with lots of little kids. I felt bad for the people camping next to us because it wasn't very peaceful. And we made sure that it was an experience, but just had a great time being with family. Got a lot of time to just think and talk about where I'm at, where we're at. Kind of had some early morning campfire time with the Lord, which was awesome. But it was a time for me, and I do this every summer, and many of you probably do the same thing. But you kind of look back and you say, okay, what happened this year? What happened significant in my life this year? What did God say to me this year? What changed? What was I challenged with? And always I have those things and I reminisce and I get excited and I probably go, man, I forgot all about that. But then I think there's some things and I come across them and I'm like, God did speak that to me this year. You know, and it was only 11 months ago or 10 months ago, but I seem to have forgot what the Lord had said or just kind of got to the back burner for whatever reason. And I always go into September going, well, this is the year I'm going to see more things. I'm going to continue to see those promises that the Lord has for me, even for this church, fulfilled. And it kind of motivates me to continue to pray for those things. And so that's kind of the heart I want to share this morning out of that revelation. And I know many of you are in the same boat as you're getting your kids ready for school, as some of you are going back to school if you're teachers or maybe a new job or something. But just a time, September's kind of a starting time in the year, isn't it? And I believe God has great things in store for us today, great things in store for us for this church this year. And I truly want to apprehend all of the promises that he has for us. Amen. So I was camping, I was having a very cold early morning campfire with the Lord where I was trying not to wake all the kids up because I don't even need to explain why. And I was just beginning to think of the promises and certain promises in my life that I've seen and some that I haven't seen. And I started thinking about the word contending. And I want to really talk about contending for the promises of God. And you know, sometimes you have to contend, don't you? Sometimes it feels like a fight. Sometimes it may come, you know, just, I don't want to say easy, but without some contending. But a lot of times there's some contending going on. And There's many promises that we have as believers. You know, if you look in the Word, I mean, really, the Word is a promise, isn't it? I mean, they make books of just full of the promises of God. You know, there's a lot of them. Some of them are pretty general, right? Kind of like, that's kind of a general one. But then there's some pretty specific promises in the Word to you as parents, to you as children, to us as believers. And then many of you have had other promises of God, whether it be through a specific scripture that the Lord says, you know, this is yours, right? Claim this one. Or maybe a prophetic word has come, and it's a promise from the Lord. Maybe someone has given you a scripture. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. But I was just looking at lots of different promises in the Word this year, and I know I've had many personally spoken over my life. Over my life, having to do with vision, with destiny. I've had promises over my sons, right? Even before they were born, I had words over my sons, and I continue to have words over my sons. And many of you have the same thing. And I just begin thinking about these things and thinking, man, what am I doing with those promises? Maybe not a lot. And I was reading in Romans 10:9, and here's one of the promises. This is kind of a general promise in Romans. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. A lot of us have heard that scripture. We love that scripture. That's not just a nice idea, right? Oh, that's cute, God. If we confess with our mouth, it's more than a cute saying. It's more than an inspirational quote. Right, maybe that's going to get you inspired, but that's a promise from God. If you confess with your mouth, okay, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So to me as a believer, I have to not only know the promises of God, but I have to be confident in those promises. I can't just say, oh, that sounds real cool. Because I tell you, if I'm not confident in that promise about confessing with my mouth and believing in my heart, if I'm not confident in that promise, the next time I lose my temper, the next time I fall into sin, and that enemy who loves to, you know, whisper in your ear a bunch of nothing, a bunch of garbage, he's going to say, you just threw a temper tantrum. You just lost your anger. You just lost your temper. You're not going to spend eternity with Jesus. Because you're just angry. If I'm not confident in that promise, guess what? I'm gonna like live a shaky lifestyle, always going, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. I tell you, when I was growing up, I probably got saved 155 times. Right? Because I didn't understand the promises of God. But I was so shaky and my faith wasn't growing. But unfortunately, a lot of us don't quit those kid habits. We still let the enemy lie to us and saying, you're not going to inherit it because we don't understand the promise of God and we truly don't contend for those promises. I believe that our ability to not only hear those truths, but truly stand on those truths is key to our Christian life. You know, and sometimes I think about these promises of God and I've had a lot spoken over my life. I've heard a lot of promises in this church of what God had for this body. And sometimes I find myself getting into this mindset that says, well, I'm just going to wait for the next promise of God. Right? Oh, you know, I kind of forgot about the last one. Or I didn't really like the last word God had for me. So I'm just going to wait for the next one. Have you guys ever done that before in your heads? You've thought, well, you know, that was okay. Or, you know, God's word says that, but I kind of want a little more. So I'll just kind of, you know, just let that one pass, and then I'll wait till the next good scripture comes, and then I'll grab that one for myself. And I don't want to just wait for the next thing. I want to contend with the promises that God's already spoke over this body, over my life, over your life. I want you to contend for those promises that are 5, 10, 15 years old. The Word talks a lot about our word, doesn't it? It talks a lot about our yes being yes, our no being no. It talks a lot about keeping your word even when it hurts. And I teach those things to my children. You know, but if I were to have written the Bible, I would have had that section. But then I would have had like the the extra section, the special section to keeping your word, and that's the promise section. Right? I don't know about you, but growing up, promises were a pretty big deal. You guys remember promises? I mean, in my family, they were kind of too big a deal. I mean, it's like I could tell my mom, you know, there's a bear in the yard, and he's going to eat my left leg off. And she'd be like, ah, no, I doubt it. But if I were to say the P word, the promise, it was like mom's getting the shotgun and, you know, going to go shoot a bear. Because promises, I mean, it was like, you know, you can kid a little bit when it comes to, you know, talking. But, man, if you say the P word, it's like it's a promise. It was a big deal to us. And I think a lot of times because we've been disappointed by people, we've been let down when people have said, nah, I'm going to show up at this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. We have kind of a filter. When someone says something, we're like, well, we'll see if it happens. I'll believe it. How many of you said that before? I'll believe you when I see it, or I'll believe it when I see it. Okay, we've all been there. And unfortunately, we let that mindset filter into our relationship with God. Right? Oh, God said that he can keep my children from stumbling, from falling. Okay, believe it when I see it. That'd be real cool. Man, that's not a promise, right? There's a lot of chance left up into that. You know, and I know personally in my head the war that I've gone through with God's promises because I've had negative filters and I viewed God, the creator of the universe, to a promise made by a man or a woman. You know, I know many of you in this room have walked with God. You've experienced the things of the Lord. You've seen God's faithfulness time and time again. Many of you in this church have had prophetic words spoken over your life. And maybe you haven't seen those promises fulfilled. Maybe there's some disappointment in your heart, right? Maybe there is. You know, maybe some of you have doubted some of those promises and been kind of more the, well, believe it when I see it type of promises. You know, maybe some of them have just kind of been on the back burner. Oh, yeah, God did say that to me 25 years ago, right? One of my favorite scriptures on the promise of God is in 1 Corinthians 1:20, and it says this. And this absolutely mind boggles me, and it plays a war in my mind. It says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a, and I love this, it doesn't just say with a yes, with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Guys, you like kind of the guy version of stories, don't you? This is like the guy version of the gospel. This covers it all. Everything God said in his word, it's going to happen. Right? Yes and amen. You are dismissed. Have a great life, right? See you in heaven type of thing. If we were truly to grasp that scripture, we would get rid of the doubt. We would get rid of the worry, right? His promises are yes, they're going to happen. No ifs, nothing else, ands or buts, right? I wrote the scripture down like this. For all of God's promises, and then I wrote in parentheses, insert your issue, okay? For all of God's promises about your health. For all of God's promises about your spouse. For all of God's promises regarding provision. For all of God's promises regarding your children. For all of God's promises about your spiritual condition, your eternal dwelling place, God's peace. For all of God's promises about God's comfort, about God's direction, have already been fulfilled in Christ. It's done. Elfin, finished. So whatever your situation is, the word still stands. And the promise is already fulfilled. You know, again, that scripture and the way I work it in my head, right, not always the same. Right, I've got the doubt, I've got the unbelief. You know, in my head, it's not yes and amen, it's, you know, how, what are they? The W's, when, where, what, who, all the why, right? instead of yes and amen. Well, how God? Who God? When God? Why God? No, it's yes and amen. Amen? Amen. Man, what a perspective change we would have. A lot of these battles that we seem to go toe-to-toe with the enemy, right? If we just had that perspective, man, a lot less fighting. And we're going to feel like we're being a little more victorious than we are. So contending for the promises of God. I mean, when you hear something from the Lord, what's your response? Right? When God says, I'm going to do this in your life, how do you respond to that? What's your thought process? What do you think of? How do you react? You know, I don't think the main problem with us believers, with myself, is when God sends something, the main problem's not, that's impossible. Right? Nah, that's just, I must have been the pizza I ate. I don't think that's the main problem with us when we hear the promises of the Lord. It'd be like me going, you know, okay, God, the king of the universe, who knows how many hairs are on my head, and his job is getting easier. You know, you know everything about everyone, but I think you missed it on this one. I don't think that's the problem at all. But I think I know what happens. It's when God speaks, I say, it's more that mentality. It's more like when you go and you buy your Mega Millions lotto ticket, right? If you do that kind of stuff. It's like, well, low odds, but high reward. All right, God, the odds are pretty low, but, you know, I'd sure love it if it happened. No, that's not how the promises of God work. It's not a bonus. Well, it actually happened. Hey. No. Great example of promises fulfilled is the story of Abram and Sarah, and that's in Genesis 15. And many of you might be familiar with that story. I'm not going to take a lot of time to read all the text. But pretty much Abram, which the meaning of his name wasn't a bad thing before God changed his name, right? It was like High Father. That's cool, right? I like that name. But Abram received a promise from the Lord, right? And the promise was a son. Right? The promise was offspring, that you're going to be a father. And this wasn't something that they could do on their own, he and his wife, because of, you know, the age, all that good stuff, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There was nothing they can do on their own. And what I love is the response of Abram, because sometimes I look at these great men and women in the Bible, and I think they are just so perfect and so holy, and they have this incredible faith, and I'm like completely opposite of that. But I love Abram's response here, because it was the same thing I would have said, right? This should give us hope this morning, right? Because God says, Abram, you're going to be father. Abram, you're going to have your own children. Many are going to look to you. All this stuff in Genesis 15. And his response, it's not textbook, right? But it was acceptable to God, and that gives me hope. And he said this. Abram says, O sovereign Lord, right? And I think he had some sarcasm in his tone. How can I be sure that that will actually happen, that I will actually possess it? Right? He's doing what you and I do, right? AKA, Lord, how, who, when, where, why? Really? Right? That's what that means. He's saying, okay, God. And it's not that he was doubting, because two verses before that, it says that Adam was blessed because of his faith. Right? He's pretty much saying, God, give me a bone. Right? Help me out a little bit. And I love the response of the Lord. Because I know what I would have done if I was in that situation. I would have said, just trust me. I'm God. Don't you think I know what I'm doing? You know, just wait. Stop asking questions, right? Just hold on. But I love the response of a father here, and it shows the true father heart of God. God didn't laugh. You know, he didn't say, well, I'm God. That's just how it's going to be. Isn't that good enough? He came down to Abram's level, his level of faith, his level of believing. And he did something to assure Abram of the promise. Okay, and that's what he wants to do with us today. when you get those promises and they may seem out of reach, you know, God's not up there going, yeah, I just did that to confuse you. Or I just did that just to make your wheel spin. When you say, Lord, how's it going to happen? That's okay. Lord, what? As you search it out, and I believe we're going to see the same response in the same God that we serve today, and that's going to be him coming down to where we're at, and he's going to show us something. And what he did with Abram was awesome, as he made covenant with him. He said, Abram, I'm going to make covenant with you. Right? So they went through the ceremony. And it's binding. It's a covenant. It's a contract. He said, I'm making covenant with you, this with your family, that indeed it will come to pass. And you know what? Jesus made covenant with each and every one of us when he went to the cross. He said, you know what? Here's these promises, but don't forget, I'm in covenant with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. It's going to happen. That gives me tremendous hope this morning. God did and does not break his word. In his word, and I love this, in Psalms it says that God holds his word above his name. You and I, my word is only as good as my name, isn't it? Yeah, you know, I may say, oh, I'll do it, but if I have a reputation of not doing it, people are going to go, yeah, right, pal. Right, but it says that God holds his word above his name. And my name's pretty important to me. That's the God that we serve this morning. Because of covenant, we can have full assurance in God and his promises. Romans 4 says this. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. And I love verse 21. It says he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. Are you fully convinced this morning? Fully convinced. Come on, that could be an awesome theme, an awesome t-shirt. Right? Fully convinced. All in. It's going to happen. One of the keys in contending for the promises of God is we have to have that ability to silence the enemy, the negative thoughts that aren't of the Lord that go on in our head. We know that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. It says that he's the father of all lies, right? He's like the king. He's the creator of lies. I want to say this morning. The enemy is not sovereign. He can't alter God's plans for your life. Amen? That's good news. He's not, but he is a liar, he is a stealer, and he is the destroyer. And he can convince you, and maybe he's a good car salesman. I love our car salesman, Noel. Right? He could be a good bad car salesman, which Noel's not. And if you need a car, he didn't pay me for that. Not yet, anyways. But no. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No, I'm kidding. Right, but he can try to derail you. He absolutely can try to convince you. But he can't change God's plans. Another thing he does is he's the thought caster, right? So he'll literally try to cast thoughts in your brain, in your head, to get you to dwell on those things that are going to be opposite of God's word and his promises. You know, so that's the importance, right? We've got to take thoughts captive as Christians, right? Or else we're going to lose the battle. You know, I know many times I'll just be driving down the road just like thinking about, you know, the color of grass, you know, thinking about nothing. All of a sudden, these crazy thoughts will come. It's like, where did that come from? Well, I know where that came from. It came from the thought caster, right? So pray, don't dwell on it. But that's what he's going to continue. And we have to, if we're going to truly contend for those promises, we have to silence those voices of the enemy. So whose thoughts are we dwelling on, really, at the end of the day? In the day and the age that we live in, there's a big battle for truth, isn't there? Huge. Well, you do what's right for you, I'll do what's right for me, and we'll meet, you know, we'll just like see you at Starbucks, see you at Yummy Yogurt. Do, you know, just, it doesn't matter. Just you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and it's all good. So there is a battle for truth, real truth, absolute truth that you can take to the bank, right? That's real. And we believe as Christians that God's word is the absolute truth. That's our whole basis, that his word is true. So as we go through life, if his word is true, we have to watch. Not only here, we have to watch what we're speaking. Have to. We have to watch what's coming out of our mouth. It better reflect where our truth comes from. Because if not, it's not going to stand. You know, the Bible compares our tongue to a lot of things, right? It says life and death are in the tongue. It says it's like a rudder on a ship, right, that steers. Man, it can cause a lot of damage or do a lot of good. But that's our mouth. So we've got to make sure that we're confessing what our beliefs are backing up. When I believe the Lord has given me a promise, you know, in my mind I say, well, Lord, that sounds great. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. But a lot of times if I really examine my heart, my mouth is completely contradicting everything that the Lord said to me. And therefore, I'm not going to receive the promise because I'm speaking against it all the time. In Romans 4:17, it says this, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. That's a little different than the way I process through it right now. If we truly want to see these promises fulfilled, we have to speak the truth. Unseen as if it were seen. It's part of contending for the promise. You know what? I don't see it, but I'm going to speak it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to see my faith grow through that. You know, I'm not going to throw it on the back burner and, well, if my circumstances start to line up or if I start to feel like believing it, well, then I'll believe it. No, even when I don't. So today, if you're faced with sickness, if your children are going everywhere, right, whatever the obstacle is, it does no good to be Captain Obvious this morning. Right? You know what Captain Obvious is, right? States the obvious. Well, I'm sick. What good does that do? We know you're sick. You're at the doctor's office. Or my kids are a mess. Well, we know they're a mess. You don't even know where they're at right now. What good does that do? I mean, really, right? No. Start speaking those scriptures over your children. I'm sick, but instead speak as though we're healed. You know what? I'm healed in Jesus' name. God can keep my kids from stumbling. So back to Abram. So he's got this promise of a son, right? His wife's old. Abram said, God, assure me. God made covenant with him. And I love what God did next. God understood the power of words. And so he got Abram to start talking differently. And he did that by changing his name. He didn't want Abram keep talking about how he's barren, how his wife is barren, and how, you know, just life is so hard, and, you know, he's not going to have kids because he's old. God's like, that's not doing your faith any good. So I'm going to change your name to get you thinking and talking differently. Because God knew, again, the power of words, right? His old name wasn't bad, but his new name really helped him apprehend that promise. And, you know, Abraham was changed from Abram to Abraham. Okay, and it means father of many nations. His name already meant like father, but now it's like, I'm going to kind of up the ante, God says, right? You're not just father because, you know, you could father a dog or you can father a cat, right? Kind of, not really. People think they can, but that's just weird, right? But he says, no, you're going to be father of many nations. So now Abraham's like, oh man, thanks God. I'm now just a day older, and so is my wife. This is not going good. But he literally changed his name. You can only be called something for so long before you really stop, you know, you start believing whatever you're called, don't you? You know, if you get called loser or alcoholic or drug addict your whole life, you know what? You're going to identify with that. You know, so I think, you know, Abram, here is his name, and he's barren. Well, you know what? He was identifying with his barrenness, or his wife's barrenness in this case. Right? Because it's the power of words. I believe God had to do something radical in him to get his faith shifted. Could you imagine every time someone called on Abraham from this day forward? Hey, Abraham, good afternoon, father of many nations. How do you do today, father of many nations? You know, I'll take two cheeseburgers, father of many nations. Every time someone called his name, father of many nations. That's me. I'm the father of many nations. I mean, could you imagine his neighbors? This guy is losing it even more. Now he's calling himself father of many nations, and he still has no kids, right? But he stood and acted on that promise. But again, I think a lot of it began with him talking differently. Father of many nations, what was coming out of his mouth? You see, God changed the way Abraham talked about his situation so that Abraham was literally calling forth the promises of God every time his name was spoke. Some of you maybe need a name change this morning. Right? Over and over again in the New Testament, we see Jesus doing the same thing. He didn't go up to the guy who didn't have any eyes and say, "You're right, no eyes in there." He just said, "You know, whatever, let there be eyes," right? He didn't say, "Oh, you're right, that guy's dead." No, he said, "Get up in Jesus' name." Right, he was walking in the faith. And the good news is we have that same faith to walk in today. It wasn't just Jesus. It's us as New Testament believers. And we're one with him. And all authority that was his is ours. So we have that authority to walk and speak things as though they are, even if we don't say them. We can say, you know what, my kids may be a mess right now, but I'm believing God's got great plans for them. Yeah, maybe I don't feel like provision is abundant. I'm going to call forth provision in Jesus' name. 1 John 4:17 says, "And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we won't be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus did here in this world." We live like Jesus did here in this world, calling forth those things, speaking things. You know, again, if you're still struggling with the fact, do I have power and authority? You know, we got to get there first. But Jesus already paid the price so we can walk in those things. In church, it's time to start walking in those things in a fuller measure if we're going to continue to see God do great things. If we're going to truly contend for promises, you have to constantly be talking about them, right? Keep the vision before you. They've got to be in the forefront of everything you do, right? Just like vision. Okay, you've got to be talking about the promise, the vision. Deuteronomy 6 says, you know, instructs them to write it down. Right? Put it. So when you go out of your door, you see the vision, you see the promise. Well, we should do the same thing. If we're truly going to contend for those promises, we got to put it in front of us. We don't want to become indifferent to the promises of God. Lord, help us if we become indifferent to his promises. Right? Oh, well, I could take it or leave it, God. Lord, help us. So today, if you're weary, if you're discouraged, I want to encourage you to remember the promise. I want to encourage you to remember the altar that you made with the Lord when he spoke that promise. I want you to remember the vision that came as he spoke that promise over your life. As he met you and made covenant with you, that he would not leave you, that you would see those things. Remember how he changed your name. You're no longer identified by your barrenness, your lack, right? That name, that label that people have labeled you by. Break out those old promises, those old scriptures that you wrote in your Bible 30 years ago that you knew were yours to apprehend. Break those things out and start contending for them again. I believe at this church we're entering a season where we're going to see these promises be fulfilled. So we got to start contending again for the promises. If you've accepted your sickness, contend for those promises. You know, getting real practical now, I think a promise that is probably very dear to a lot of parents, but very dear to our church, right? The name of our church, Generational Hope Christian Center. That's not just a cute name, because there's a lot cuter names out there that are a lot shorter. Ugh. Right? A lot cuter names, but that's not who we are, right? We are Generational Hope Christian Center. Okay, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, right? If you've been in this church and you haven't heard this scripture, you probably should start listening, right? Because it's like all the time, it's like Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. That's who we are as GHCC. The turning of hearts, one generation to the next. That's who we are. That's our anointing. That's our mission. That's our vision. Obviously, it's Jesus, but that's the anointing he's given us. I believe that promise has already been fulfilled in the Spirit. But we have to contend for those things. Not just on GL graduation. Love generational leadership graduation where we get to celebrate. But 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later, we've got to contend for that vision, the vision of the house. I tell you, it's been fun to sit back this summer and look at what God's doing in the generations. I sat here at generational leadership graduation seeing like 16, 18 to 25-year-olds get launched into this next phase of their life. And they all have a relationship with Jesus, a solid one. And they're going to go change their schools, change the universities. They're going to change their work field or wherever they go, their churches. They're going to change those things. Why? Because they got the heart of the Father. They have generational hope living inside of them. You know, I look at a number of couples that got married within our church this year. Couples who know Jesus and they're doing it right. And they're saying we're going to have generations out of this line that are going to honor God. And we're gonna serve God together. You know, I sit back and I go, thank you, Lord. I go in a society where young adults are not in the church, and you send 40 of them to a retreat in, you know, on like a river in eastern Washington. Yeah, it was fun, but they didn't go for the fun. I mean, they did, but they had fun. But their lives were changed and transformed. And guess what? There was no alcohol at the young adult retreat, right? They were doing other things. They weren't doing the norm. You've got youth who have a lot going on, right, in this day and age. And they're up here, and their lives have been transformed at a summer camp. More than a camp experience that you and I maybe had, right? They encounter Jesus. I look back at even our summer, at our family camp, seeing the generations come together. And I say, Generational Hope, let's continue to contend for the vision. And I know it feels like you have to contend sometime. I hear you, but it's worth it. Our VBS week, to get 240-50 kids up here, and I don't know half of them, because they don't go to this church. And I see mothers and fathers investing in these kids, planting seeds. I say it's worth it. And they're not just up here singing songs and, you know, no, they're meeting Jesus. And they may not be here today, but in 20 years, they may be the next revivalists. They may be the next whatever. And it's an investment on mothers and fathers to say, we're willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to do goofy hand motions in worship. Ugh, I hear you. I don't like it, but you know he's wild. I'll take it, right? Because we're planting seeds in the next generation. This will be a place that hearts continue to turn generation to generation. That's our promise. And God said, I've already paved the way. Now walk it out. We've seen the fruit of it, haven't we, Pastor Tom? Haven't we, mothers and fathers? We've seen the fruit of it. I hope you haven't become indifferent to sons and daughters. I could take young people or leave them. They got long hair and they smell. Yeah, they do. But so do you. Young people, have you become indifferent to the generational vision? I'm 22 years old now. I got this. Right? No, you don't. You've got fathers and mothers. Use them. Don't become indifferent to the generational vision. You know, for those of you that are newer to GHCC, this doesn't happen in normal church. Right? Young people are like asleep. And looking out, the only ones that are maybe asleep aren't the young people. Right? That wasn't a knock, but it's what God's doing in all our generations is different here. Mothers and fathers, have you become discouraged with sons and daughters because you expect them to be further along with the Lord than they are? I'm going to pray for patience for our mothers and fathers because we're going to need patience with this next generation. I'm going to pray for more guidance for our mothers and fathers. Mothers and fathers, if you've assumed that your investment doesn't matter, you've said, GHCC has Pastor Tom. He's got it. You're right. He's awesome. But we need your investment to see all sons and daughters be launched into their vision and destiny. The word still says we've got a lot of teachers, but few fathers and mothers. We need you, mothers and fathers. It doesn't mean, mothers and fathers, that you have to be perfect. This generation's not saying they're not perfect, so I'm not going to follow them. The young generation isn't looking for perfection. They're looking for relationship. They're looking for mothers and fathers that say, you know what? I've been there. I've done that. Those feelings, those thoughts that you're having towards your kids right now, the thoughts that involve, you know, all sorts of crazy things, all crazy weapons and, you know, duct tape. I've been there before. You're going to make it. Right? We don't need you. You know, the young generation doesn't need you to be perfect, mothers and fathers. Because you've struggled with the same things that they're struggling with. We need you to have a relationship with them. They need your wisdom. We need, the younger generation needs you saying, your circumstance may be a lot, but God is faithful. And here's how he was faithful in my life. Mothers and fathers, we need that in you. Younger generation needs that from the mothers and fathers. I'm kind of in between, right? I still feel young, but I'm a father, you know. They need that. They need to know that God met you in your doubt, mothers and fathers, in your lack. Sons and daughters, have you bought into this vision? Has there been the buy-in? Is your heart open to mothers and fathers? I'm being real practical this morning, aren't I? I hope that's okay. Because we have to contend for the vision. Sons and daughters, are you open to mothers and fathers' input in your life? Or are you, I'm 22 and I got this? Are you looking, younger generation, for the impact of the older generation? Are you turning your hearts to them? Right? Oh, I hope so, because there's wells. There's men and women in this church that are wells, deep wells, and they've experienced God's faithfulness. Seek them out. Are you teachable, younger generation? What is your heart towards authority? Be teachable, be under authority, or never going to experience authority. Younger generation, is there wounding in your heart because of, you know, your carnal mothers or fathers? Maybe there is. But you know what? Don't let that filter into your relationship with the Lord and spiritual mothers and fathers in this place. Younger generation, if maybe you've given in to that lie of the enemy that says, you know, here's your old name, right? Alcoholic, loser, depressed. This morning, younger generation, God wants to give you a new name. In order to continue to see generational hope explode in this place, we've got to be accurate in our vision. We've got to know. We've got to breathe that vision. We've got to say, I'm in. We need a buy-in from everyone to say, I'll do my part to see the generations joined. You know, seeing 16 graduates on a GL graduation Sunday is awesome. But without the buy-in, it doesn't happen. Without the investment, it doesn't happen. Right? Not just old generation to young, but vice versa. I'm not saying every one of you needs to open your homes. I'm hoping two of you will open your homes. Hey, there's a plug again, right? But I'm saying open your hearts. Open your lives. Open your prayers to the next generation. Because a lot can be done in praying for them. Don't become indifferent, church, to the generational blessing. Don't become indifferent. Don't despise the traits of the next generation or the former generation. The generational blessing isn't going to happen because of osmosis. Right? It just happens. Hey, cool. Can't explain it. Neither can I. Don't worry. Right? But it's going to be by deliberate action. By us saying we're going to contend. Even in the midst of disappointment, of being let down, the investment is worth, and God's promises are, remember, they're yes and amen, aren't they? It's worth it. It's going to happen, so we're going to contend. Right? So this morning, as we're wrapping up, practically speaking, what does this, I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're challenged to contend for those promises and to contend for the generational vision. Practically, what does that mean? It might mean opening up your home. It will mean opening up your lives, opening up your hearts. I mean, how cool it would be, I was thinking this week, if every person in our church had a mentor and was being mentored. Or was a mentor and was being mentored. Right? I think I said it right the second time, right? Better than the third time. If everyone had someone, a father, that they were getting wisdom to, and then they were taking that wisdom and they were passing it on to the next generation, we'd see a different church. We would see true unity. So yeah, who are you investing in? Who are you discipling? Don't wait till you're perfect. Right? Mentor someone. Open your heart. Open your life to the next generation. In prayer. Right? I said it before. Young people, pray for the mothers and the fathers. Mothers and fathers, pray for this next generation. Even if you don't know their names, pray for them. Even if they're not here, pray for them. We have a great opportunity this morning to kind of really activate some of the stuff. And we're going to pray for some people. But this is a message that you can't just leave, can you? You have to do something with it. And I say, GHCC, let's be a church that contends for the promises of God. So I'm going to have a young lady come up. Isabel, where are you at? I know, you come up. No, I'm going to have his mom come up. No, well, young lady, you know, I wanted you. I'm just going to have Isabel share of just what's going on in her life and her daughter's life, and then we're going to pray for some people, and it kind of went right along with the message, huh? All right.
Good morning. My name's Isabel. My daughter's name is Nadine. About 4 years ago, we started attending this church when our life got changed, and my job was, as a contractor, it wasn't a secure job. And I just, all I wanted to do as a parent was make sure that my daughter had some stability. And I cried out to God.
could you just give us 4 years, Lord? Could I just give her 4 years of the same school that she was planning to attend and somehow get through? Well, God told me, I never leave you, I never forsake you, and he answered that prayer. So first thing I want to do is give praise to God and acknowledge that it was his grace and love for my daughter and I that got us through this. So that was the key thing. Another thing is this message about what we do as parents and the children and the teamwork in our church. It's critical. You can ask my daughter that how many times a day sometimes I would check her grades, monitor Facebook, all those things that some of you young people are just going right now, thinking, you know, we have no other life but yours. And it's our goal to make yours miserable. It's not. It's a responsibility put upon us. And it's hard work, believe me. That work has paid off. Between the prayers here and other Facebook stalkers, we've been monitoring and watching and praying for many of you. Tomorrow morning, Nadine leaves for New Hampshire. She goes to Franklin Pierce University, a private New England university. Doesn't that sound lottie-lottie? Yeah. I can't afford that. I'm blessed. We can come up with some of the funds. But it's because of her hard work for 4 years, and my hard work as a parent to make sure she's working hard. And the, did you do your homework? And getting the look, yeah, I did. And asking again, no, did you do your homework already? Not like gonna do it right away now that you told me, okay? Because of that, and because she's been given a gift of being able to listen to teachers, over $87,000 in scholarships for the next year has been, and grants have been awarded. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got football players and we got other athletics. She did get athletics, 4-year varsity. But that's only a small percentage of what's real out there. Over 69,000 of that is academics. 3.5 GPA that we just clung to because senioritis had set in. And we got through that too by the grace of God and a lot of prayer. So, what I'm trying to say to you both is we invest our time in our children. We are there. We watch. If we see they have a gift given to them, we find ways to help them, even if I can't throw a discus. And by the way, she does not look like a discus thrower, but that's what she does. She throws discus, hammer, and shot put. I can't. I tried one time. It went a few feet, okay? But what I can do is get online when I realized when she was in seventh grade, and I could research it. And I could say, look, I tagged some things. And later on in life, I find articles and I send them to her. Okay? And yeah, I monitor grades. Not because I expect perfection. That's unfair. I'm far from it. I'll be the first one to show her my errors. But because God gives us a certain amount of talent. And when we use what we have, that's all he asks. He just asks, if you can't get A's and C's are the grades that you struggle to get with, good for you, as long as you're doing it. But when you decide that you want to quit, you're not using the talents you've been given. So it's not about perfection. It's about working towards what you've been given, and then more will be given. So anyway, I just want to thank God. And one last thing. A lot of people ask me, what's mom going to do? Because many of you know that we like to travel and do things together. Well, I'm exhausted. So mom's going to kind of, you know, just let her go to that next step of semi-adulthood. She's 18, she's not a full adult. She still depends on her parents to help fund the rest of it, okay? And I'm going to hope that she makes the right choices and depend on God. And I know that you're all going to be praying for her, and she knows she's going to be held accountable for it, so hey. But that thing where, you know, the old saying, you know, time to cut the apron strings. Well, I thought about that the other day, and I thought, no, that doesn't work for a parent. Yeah. I don't cut apron strings. If I cut it, what is left of the apron but a rag? I can't wear it. I can't use it. It's who I am. I can untie them. I can hang it up in the kitchen. It's right there. I'm always her mother. I'm always there to help her. I don't have to mommy her all the time. But I'm always there for her to call up or speak to. And that apron is always ready to be put back on and do the job that I've been asked to do.
Amen. Amen.
So, thank you very much.
Awesome. That's a proud mama.
That's a proud mama right there. That's awesome. That's good. I didn't need to preach. That was good. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for Nadine. But I also want to pray for any other, you know, young people that are in here that are maybe going off to college. And also, I want to pray for all of our kids that are in here that are going to school. I know it's a week away. But I want to pray for our children today before we go. So, and then we're also going to pray for Earl Washburn, who's going to be, it's the end of August, Earl. He said, I'm going to be here through the end of August. Well, he's leaving this week. And we're going to pray for Earl, our missionary to Honduras. His wife's still down there. We're going to pray for Earl and then our children as well. So if you're a kid and you're going to school, college or school, stand up. And if your name is Earl Washburn, stand up. And fathers and mothers, here's what I want to do. Oh, man, we got the crew over there. If you got a young person or an Earl Washburn right by you, I want you to get around them, and I'm going to pray. And I want you to pray prayers of blessing, prayers of faith. I want every young person to have a mother or father around them. So mothers and fathers, we've got a row of young people in the back that we want to pray for. But we want to pray that they would carry these things in their hearts. And I'll pray, and then just make sure to release your faith. Has everyone got someone praying for them? Awesome. So, Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Father, I thank you for the promises that you've given Generational Hope Christian Center to see the generations join together. Father, we don't take it lightly. Father, I thank you for the promises that you've given us. Father, we want to be a church that contends for your promises. Father, today I bless Nadine. Father, we bless Nadine. God, would she continue to carry the standard that you've put in her life? Would she continue to shine for you? Father, I thank you for our children, the ones that are standing here. Father, thank you for our inheritance. Father, I pray a blessing over every child, whether they're homeschool, private, public, whatever it is, online. Father, we bless our kids this morning. Father, would they continue to carry your standard? Father, would they continue to seek your presence, to have a relationship with you? Father, they wouldn't buy in to the cultural norms that says you're just going to struggle for 8 years. You're going to struggle through this. You're going to struggle through that. Father, that they would truly be able to go out and change their environment, change their school for you. Father, that they would continue to remain humble, to remain teachable. Father, we thank you for our children. And we're expecting for the promises that you have for them. And Father, I thank you for Earl and Sharon Washburn. Father, for the gifts that they are to this body. Father, for the gifts that they've been to so many across the nations of the world. Father, would you continue to use them for your glory? Father, continue to keep them safe. Continue to advance your kingdom through their ministry. Father, we just pray that even this year would just be more provision, abundant provision for the school. Father, thank you for the lives that they're touching. And Father, I thank you once again for this house. Father, for the word today, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just let it go in an ear and out the next, but Father, that we would contend for your promises. Father, I thank you for the mothers and fathers that have sacrificed, that have given for the next generation. Father, we want to be a church that continues to see hearts turn to one another. So, Father, I bless this word. I bless your body today. Father, we're expectant for the promises. Father, and we say we will contend for those things. I thank you for what you've done in the Spirit today. In your mighty name, amen. 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 Well, I hope you heard the word. I'm proud of this church. I love this church. God bless you. You are dismissed.